This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ah, the Bills running away now.
You're listening to the best of the Bills.
Touchdown, the first play from scrimmage.
A weekly mix of WGR 550's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
So, yeah, the Sabres are red hot. That's awesome. I'm sure we'll have time for that throughout the morning. I watched the farewell Highmark Stadium video last night and then this morning. The Bills posted this 2 days ago to YouTube, 45 minutes, a look back at the stadium, the building of the stadium, and, of course, all the memories that have filled it throughout its entire run as the stadium for the Buffalo Bills. And Sunday's the last game. More than likely. Like, there's a very outside shot. We could see one more in there, but I think it's a long shot. So, probably the last game. And I'll tell you, like, I did not expect to watch this 45-minute retrospective of a stadium and really get emotional about it, but I did.
Yeah.
I'm in my car. Like, oof. It's hitting hard. It's dusty in here.
Yeah.
All these memories, all these greats, the moments along the way, the 90s, the generations of fans that come together, the everything. So we've got a big show with that in mind. Sal's going to join us coming up at 8 o'clock, as he does on a Football Friday. Chris Brown at 8:30. At 9 o'clock, we're going to talk with Bill Wippert, who's the chief photographer for the Sabres and the Bills. And he posted yesterday how he's been taking pictures in the stadium for 45 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, all right, sounds like we should talk to Whip about that.
Almost the entirety of it.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Pretty close to it.
My entire life, he's been taking pictures. And, you know, he's well-known around this area. And I called him and talked to him and said, just telling us your views, your memories in that stadium. Everybody should be heard from. So we'll talk to Whip coming up at 9 o'clock, 7:45, the return of Flyover Radio. We got a flyover coming your way on
Sunday.
Got to
have a flyover for the last game.
Right. The last flyover.
We've only had one this year? One or two?
I think it's only one this year. One or two. Yeah, two.
I mean, the rain last week would have made it.
Canceled that one.
It was so much rain.
They scrapped that one.
Yeah.
This one will be helicopters again. We're going back to helicopters, which was the Winter Classic. The Winter Classic in that stadium. That's one of the things I noticed from Bill Wippert posting yesterday on social media, was not just Bills games, but the Winter Classic and the World Juniors and concerts. Here's Mick Jagger. Here's so-and-so. And, yeah, here we go. Saying goodbye to an old friend to
all
the Highmark Stadium.
Sal brought up with me, like, all the high school games over there. So many of you listening might have even played in that stadium. We debated whether I played in that stadium because I was active for a game but did not play a snap. Does that count as having played in the stadium? I didn't think it did.
No snaps, but you were active?
I was active. I had the helmet on the sidelines, but I never checked in. Does that count?
Who's the Bill that is best known for that? Mr. So-and-so.
Right.
Mr. Active but no snaps.
Did Terrell Pryor ever play a snap for them?
Yeah.
While he was active? Sal had a pick in the stadium.
Nice.
So
nice.
Some of you out there might have that.
Yeah. But I got emotional. I really, the drought team will do that to you, the drought breaker team. When they start showing the highlights of that season and the music hits and here's somebody talking about how it's 4th and 12 for Andy Dalton. And like, oh, here we go. That was 8 years ago yesterday. New Year's Eve, right?
That's New Year's Eve 2017. Yeah.
8 years ago, New Year's Eve, and saw clips of that and the videos of people in their houses or bars, wherever, going nuts. I can remember where we were. You know, just these memories of this stadium. A lot of you have been listening and been going for 50 years. And for me, it's been 25 years, something in that neighborhood. Gone to a lot of these games, of course. A lot of losses, a lot of terrible games, a lot of great memories. And it's been so nice to, you know, kind of change the script. And it goes out. Granted, they lost to the Eagles last week, and who knows what happens against the Jets. But it's going to go out on a high note, right? Like, we all feel good about
it. Yeah, do you like that the game doesn't really have any meaning other than the stadium closing?
Probably not. I mean, I wish it had meaning for them to get something.
Sure.
I'm glad it's not like, oh,
the season ends there, yeah, and then suddenly the final day doesn't become about the final day. It's all about, you know, if they lose a playoff game to the Chargers in the stadium, then no one is thinking about that the stadium's done. It's, why did McDermott do this on third down?
Yeah, we really get to focus in and celebrate and say goodbye.
And it's, yeah. So I think there are positives to it being a game where there really isn't a lot to play for or meaning behind it other than this is it. Let's close down the stadium on Sunday.
Yeah.
Again, that's all of it.
Yeah.
Like, well, 5 seed, 6 seed, it's not enough to really even come close, I think, to coming over top of this is the final game there.
No, I don't think so. And my
and I'm with you, like, it's 1% that they're going to, if they're the 6 seed. And
the 7 seed has to advance all the way
right,
through.
Right, they and the Chargers would have to win both of their first 2 games, and the odds of that happening are, like, very, very, very slim.
Maybe we should pick that in this crazy topsy-turvy AFC season. That should be what we expect. So 803-0550, if you want to share some stadium memories, you know, I know you've been talking about them during the week, like games you went to, weather games. Can I tell you, I've had another like overarching thought this week as we get closer and closer and closer to it. I didn't know when to save this thought on the stadium for, but I'm here for it today, which is I'm so glad that on Sunday we're not saying goodbye to the outdoors.
Yeah.
Imagine some of you did want a dome, and that's okay. Like, anybody can want what they want. The moving of one stadium to the next is about the next stadium. And it's not like we're moving out of that part of town. So if you park in the same parking lot for the last 10 years, chances are you maybe still park there. You can drive the same distance. How long does it take you to get to the stadium? Well, it takes me 37 minutes. It's still going to take you 37 minutes, yeah, right? It's not going to be where you all of a sudden are driving to Amherst or Batavia or, you know, Toronto. So a lot of that is the same. But I keep having this thought as we're going to be there on Sunday. My whole family will be there. Like, we're treating this game, it might as well be the AFC Championship game, as everybody's going to be at this one for the finale.
Yeah.
And I think, man, imagine if we were sitting here in our jackets all bundled up and saying, like, well, next year we'll just be inside.
Yeah.
To me, that would feel like losing
saying
something.
Goodbye to the sun also, yeah, during football games.
And I'm very glad about that. I had been a domer. I don't mean to like turn the conversation into that, but I'd been someone that wanted that and then completely changed my mind while at the stadium. It was the perfect game against the Patriots where, like, it's my origin story for never send me inside ever again. Right. I just want to be outside forever. So we will. And that's a great part of it, that we've still got that.
And but you won't be wet like you would have been on
that's
Sunday.
Right, that's right. The game will be outside, and I'll kind of feel maybe like I'm inside. So that might be the best of both worlds.
Right, I really think it is. Yeah.
So, you know, whatever. These memories, these moments, I had the thought to ask you, like, you guys, knee-jerk reaction, what's the best catch? What's the best play?
The best catch.
What's the best run?
Yeah.
What's the best interception?
Yeah. Like,
could we give out
we need a list.
The awards of the best ever plays in the stadium? And, you know, memories, this and that. Taron Johnson's pick six. I mean, the time Lee Evans caught a ball against his head against the Chargers, right? Like, what are the best plays?
Bonus points for that one because you would have had to be there to see that live because I'm pretty sure the broadcast lost power.
Yeah, okay. That's the weather balloon game?
Yeah, I didn't see. I listened to that catch on the radio because the broadcast was down.
Yeah, he pinned it against his head.
Yeah.
Very Mario Manningham style. Right?
Yeah.
David Tyree style.
The Ralphie Awards, if you want. The Ralph Awards.
Sure, the Ralphies.
Yeah, the Ralphies.
The best plays ever.
Yeah. What's the what's the best? This is good.
What's the best run? What's the best,
is the best run immediate first gut reaction is LeSean McCoy in the snow in overtime in 2017.
Right.
But there are probably going to be runs. There's probably a million good ones. I mean, I'm sure we would have fans from that go back to the 70s that have like a list of OJ runs, and there's Thurman runs, right? And, you know, there's a lot of those too.
Speaking of OJ, this retrospective shows more OJ in a Bills uniform than I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Right? It's not the kind of thing that often gets shown a lot with, obviously, like, we understand
for
why.
Reasons, yeah.
But for telling the story of the stadium,
yep.
I don't know that I've ever seen as many highlights of OJ playing for the Bills as I did in that clip.
Right. Right.
So, I mean, you could see how good he is. And Joe D talking about him. and how Joe Ferguson talking about him, how they came to see OJ. They came to see OJ like they came to see like they come to see Josh. So it's wild that we're really saying goodbye. Here it is. Last game.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder how emotional it will be on Sunday. I mean, I think, you know, people are saying goodbye to memories there. You're saying goodbye to maybe people that you experienced that stadium neighbors. With that are no longer with us, and neighbors that maybe you don't go with. Any, like, there's going to be a lot of that. I'll have some of that on Sunday. Yeah, and it's beyond the football team. It's 99% the football team, but yeah, like the Winter Classic, I'm sure is elite for this. Who you experienced games with, who I went to the World Juniors game with, the U.S. and Canada matchup, which was actually awesome, an awesome event to be at, which I'm glad I got to because I did not go to the Winter Classic. So I'm glad I got to see a hockey game there at all. That was also freezing cold and windy and snowy. But, man, there are – if you were also, though, a fan that grew up during the drought era, it's tough. Like – when you think of best catch, best run, what they've done recently factors in, I think, the meaning of all of the plays and all of the games. And then suddenly, I think you go, like, when we were talking about this the other day on Wednesday or wherever we were here talking about, like, stadium memories, and I thought, like, is 2011 Patriots? Like, I almost felt bad saying it's one of my top memories there because you look back at it now and go, well, no, I mean, no, they were 3-0 and then they lost, you know, seven games in a row after that or whatever.
Yeah,
they like, all felt I can't answer that question. It's embarrassing.
They're all moral victories looking back.
Right. Yeah. Right. So, like, can you answer it that way? Like, they're going to be, someone brought up the Colts opener when Rex's first game, and I was there for that.
That's right. Percy Harvin touchdown in that game.
The pop of the stadium when Percy Harvin scored that touchdown. We were trying to figure out what the loudest moment in the stadium ever was, and someone brought that up. I'm like, I remember that play, and it was loud in that stadium when Percy Harvin caught that ball. But now I look back at it and go, I can't answer that game. Bills beating the Colts with Tyrod and Percy Harvin. They win eight games. Like, that can't be the answer.
Yeah.
I don't know. It feels like, for me, like, my memories are starting to, like, okay, what meaning was behind it as well? You know, like, even if it's not a playoff game. When they smoked Miami a couple of years ago after they had scored 70 points, it wasn't just, we're great and we're going to the playoffs because that's who we are now. It's, oh, yeah, you think you're on our level, and then everybody just basking in. No, you're not.
Yeah.
And just ripping off touchdowns one after another. I mean, there's a million examples like that. But, like, I don't want to just confine myself to all the best plays happened just when Josh Allen or Jim Kelly played.
Yeah, it's probably
but those are going to be the tough. Two best stretches by far ever.
Did Lossman do anything crazy good? Did he have like a really good game? Like EJ Manuel throwing to Stevie Johnson for the game winner against Carolina felt great. Like a young quarterback has his moment.
Yeah,
that felt awesome. Mm-hmm. But right, for best throw, I'm over here inclined to say, like, Josh Allen to Robert Foster against the Jags.
Because, oh, like, his rookie year? Yeah. That's
like,
a good one.
Whatever. Like, moments that you remember or players that you remember. Yeah. Or you're right. It's about – I can remember the places I've sat. I think I've only sat in the clubs one time. Like, okay. In the heated seats, one time.
Okay.
And I've sat in the upper deck 100 times. And where
it wasn't the perfect game, right?
No, no. Okay. No, now I sit with my wife and our whole family. Like, yeah. We sit in the same spot for every game that we do go to. Now with kids, we go to fewer games, but we're definitely going to go to the one on Sunday, of course. Like, and the whole family. It'll be like, you know, I don't know. I don't want to say it's like a wake because we're all going to say goodbye. But, like, there's that feeling of one last ride in the stadium. So maybe for some of you don't really feel that part of it. It's just like anything else. Like if you move out of a house, that to me that was what they were talking about on the look back. Steve Tasker said, like, we were kids in this house, and I like that one really hit me. You know, like, yeah, that's exactly what this feels like. And I live in a house now where with my kids growing up, we've created so many memories in that house. Sometimes the idea of moving out of it gets me emotional just because you'll walk away from the spot where something happened. And that's something that Tasker was saying. Like, he looks at every yard line and says, I can remember a play right there and a play right there.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, that totally resonates for me. Whether it's who I'm going with in my 20s, in my 30s, in my 40s, who I'm watching these games with, where I'm tailgating, whether it's the camper lot or I used to be over on California with Brad Ryder back in the day. We parked in a grass lot over the years. Maybe you move around. Maybe you've been in the same spot for 30 years. You know, whether that's seat, whether that's where you tailgate. Maybe you had to move because the new stadium, the bus lot. I mean, there's a lot to it. So it's I feel like on Sunday, I don't know how the Bills will kind of do it all. A lot of legends, right? We already know that. There are going to be a lot of legends there, and they're going to give a coin away also, the I Was There coin, which I had a friend show me their I Was There coin yesterday, which is the one they gave for the first game at the stadium.
So, oh, cool.
Yeah, right. So they're doing that again, the I Was There coin. Good idea.
Yeah. If you could hit a time machine button and you dropped into one game that you didn't go to at that stadium, what would it be?
Ooh, one game that I didn't go to.
Yeah. I have an easy number one.
I have an easy answer, too. I have an easy answer, too.
Okay.
It's the 2011 win against the Patriots.
Really?
Yeah.
That would be your answer?
I didn't go.
Okay.
I didn't go. And that's...
You know, you saw that era of football,
right,
though.
But
like,
that's why I didn't go.
Right.
I didn't go to that game because I actively said, what am I going to do? Watch them get stomped by New England again? No thanks. I'll sit this one out. And then I had to watch it from home as they win. And, I mean, other games I've been to.
Like, I don't know if I like to say it. Like, before, though, it's a time machine. You can go back wherever you want.
Oh, like 51-3?
That's what I was going to say.
Okay, yeah.
Like, I'm going to 51-3.
Sure.
To go to the Super Bowl, by the way. Like, I'm definitely doing that. I'm not doing a Fitz game.
That's
no
fair.
Offense to Fitz.
I mean, 51-3, I'm not really at all a Bills fan at that point.
Yeah.
So if I could go back in time.
You're yourself now, though.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. 51-3 is probably pretty
51
good.
51-3 would be awesome. It was 48-0 at half.
Maybe the comeback game. That'd be a good one, too.
Yep.
There are empty seats. We know that.
Would you have left?
Probably.
You would have.
I mean, you know, you've already won a bunch, and like, you know, not our year.
Yeah,
I might have left. It depends. Am I trying to beat traffic to get home because, you know, I got a babysitter to take care of, like, uh-huh, to get out of there?
Yeah.
There's factors. People leave games. There are factors.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, 803-0550 is our phone number if you want to give us a ring. Let's talk about the stadium. Let's remember it on this Football Friday and talk about it with you. Rob in Connecticut is up early. Hey, Rob, good morning.
Yes, I'm always up early with you guys, you know. Hey, Jeremy, it's great to have you back. It was like a part of me was amputated when I didn't hear your voice all week. I mean, Joe and Owen hold it down, but there's just something about you that brings a lot to this station. Really appreciate it. Joe, great question. If I could go back in time to Time Machine, knowing that it was the comeback, that would be the game that I would definitely go back to, the comeback game. I was thinking about super fans. I could not help not to think about Pancho Villa. You know, that was something whenever I was able to see and watch on TV, you would always see him dressed up. I remember him at the draft when he was calling out one of the players, you know, announcing one of the players that we drafted. But Pancho Villa was like, he was a super fan to me, so that's a great memory. He was in that stadium and he got to enjoy every moment of that. So, you know, it was sad when he passed away, and much love and respect to his family that still carry his legend with the Buffalo Bills. But go Bills, and have fun, guys, Sunday. I'm so jealous, man. I said it the other day, my biggest regret is not ever being at that stadium for a game. But there's always the new stadium.
Yeah.
But thank you, guys. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Rob. I mean, you've got me thinking about people that'll go, and, you know, maybe part of the emotional scene on Sunday is being there and you're not with someone that used to go to games with you. You know, whether that's a parent, a family member, a friend, whatever. Like, you used to go to games with this person and they're no longer with us. Like, that's a part of the ending of this era of Highmark Stadium. Into the new Highmark Stadium, which is, you know, right there. We've been seeing that for a while. 803-0550. I also had the thought that the camper lot moving has kind of given me, it's been a little bit of a primer for all this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, you had to move. Oh, all right. And we went somewhere else, and it's good. It's fine. It's maybe better.
Yeah.
Like, that changed a lot of what we did at these games. So it's almost like our process of moving into the new stadium, those of us in the camper lot, started 3 or 4 years ago. Because here, you need to move your seat. All right, we'll go over here while you guys are building this thing. So, kind of prepped us for moving, but it's going to be wild. Sunday will be The red helmets look pretty good, by the way. The pictures.
The red helmets look very good.
Because the red helmets, they're...
The pictures almost look fake.
Some of them do. They almost look like they're like these pixelated... It's such a bright red.
Yeah, right.
But they do have a stripe that is appropriately matched, which I think in like 2001, the stripe didn't match. Their pictures going
because
back
to... Because it was navy, right?
Yeah, like the Bledsoe era red helmets had colors that didn't perfectly match, maybe.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But these ones do, and I think it's going to be pretty great. So Sunday, the Jets, how they should handle it, the playoff field, all that kind of stuff. One more ride at Highmark Stadium. We'll talk about it with you at 803-0550. Your memories, along with Sal Capaccio, Chris Brown, Bills and Sabres chief photographer Bill Whippert coming up at 9 o'clock, flyover radio, some chatter along the way about, you know, like I said, what to do, the Sabres and their 10-game streak, and whether they can stretch it to 11 or 12 or 13. It's all coming up. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR.
This is for the win. The Buffalo Bills have defeated the New England Patriots. They stopped the 15-game losing streak.
Marv Albert.
15-game losing streak.
That's a lot of losses. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. It's Football Friday. Plenty of chatter to get to about the Bills and the Jets. We'll also talk about our Sabres and their 10-game win streak, talking about Highmark Stadium and saying goodbye. Joe asked the question, if you had a time machine and you can go back to any game in the history of the stadium and attend it, what game would you pick? You picked 51-3. I had a different thought. We could use the time machine and have it be a new fantasy football last place punishment. I could send someone to the 6-3 game. Now you finished in last. You got to go. You're going to go sit in that stadium for 3 hours and watch them lose 6-3 to the Browns.
Yeah, that's a
on
tough
a Roscoe Parrish muffed punt.
Yeah.
Three hours.
They were in it at the end, weren't they, though?
That game?
Like, weren't they driving at the end of the game, or am I confusing with 8-0?
I mean, driving might be a tough phrase for anybody in
okay,
that game.
Okay, I have to be thinking of the 8-0 game than Cleveland then, because they had throws into the end zone at the end of the game.
8-0, they indeed were driving.
Okay, okay.
Or they had driven to about like the 8-yard line.
So 6-3, they were not doing that.
6-3. It's a beautiful game.
Would that be the most miserable?
No, the most miserable is probably weather-based for me. You know, we've all got our bad game. How many times have you been cold in the stadium, right? Everybody has been.
Yeah.
And then that's when you buy better gear. The famously, whatever, this is like the weather event. I could bring this up every couple of years. The game against the Giants is the worst weather game I'd ever been to. The game against the Giants was rainy.
2009?
Maybe 2009, that sounds right.
2010?
Yeah.
Ahmad Bradshaw ripped off like an 80-yard touchdown.
I believe you. I left after the first quarter because of the weather.
Okay.
Because
after the first quarter?
Yes.
Wow.
Because that was the day that it rained, and then the temperature dropped 40 degrees.
Okay.
Man, so, you know,
imagine I don't think I've ever left a game before the halftime.
It's one thing to get rained on. It's one thing for a weather event to come on. Like, I think I was wearing jeans that day.
Yeah.
And my jeans are wet, and then the temperature drops, and my jeans froze into place. So,
listen, I might have preferred that from Sunday, because I made the critical mistake I mentioned of wearing jeans to the Eagles game, and they never dried. Is that, you're saying frozen is worse than that?
Imagine that you had that exact scenario, and
the
temperature dropped 40 degrees in like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Because that's what happened against the Giants.
Be like a cartoon. Can I like kick a wall and my pants would shatter?
That's what it felt like. I got in the car and took my pants. I took them off to drive home.
Yeah.
It was so cold. Giants game. Yep.
Bills Niners 2008. I'm at that game. It was 10-3. The Niners won, and it was like 40 and raining the whole day. That was miserable. Miserable. Yeah. Edwards got hurt early, I think, and Lossman came in and couldn't do anything. Terrible football game.
It's all about preparation.
It was like end of the season, too, so they were far and away out of it. Yeah, not good. Not good.
803-0550 to join us in 1-888-550-2550.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We'll be right back. on Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health.
All right, here we are, hour number two on a Wednesday. Chris Brown with Steve Tasker and making his weekly appearance, the Hall of Famer Thurman Thomas joining us here in studio. And big week, Thurm, for the building. How nostalgic are you getting? Is it building in you, knowing that might be one of the last times you walk in there this weekend? Or
hasn't hit me yet.
Hasn't hit you yet.
Okay. Hasn't hit me yet, yeah. Probably not until Sunday.
Okay.
Or driving on to the stadium, you know, for the 425 game, you know? Like, yeah. It's getting closer and closer. Like, I won't use this parking pass anymore.
Yeah.
I mean,
Parking. You might be parking where the game's taking place.
Yeah. And so, actually, you know, it's just been like a lot of, like, seen a lot of stories, you know, that the Bills have been doing and our little ESPN deal that we did with Chris Berman. So, but I probably won't, not until I'm, you know, getting in that car Sunday to drive over here and see it.
What do you think you'll be thinking about? Will you be thinking about old games? Will you be thinking about teammates? Will you be thinking about watching games here with your family since you do that now? You know, like, what are you?
Yeah,
it's gonna be rolling through your head.
Yeah, you know, I think it starts at the beginning, like when I got here, and all of a sudden I had kids. You turn around, they're in a stadium now. They're, you know, so it starts from the beginning for me, and just, you know, drive through all of first game of Minnesota, scoring my first NFL touchdown on the opening drive. I mean, and then, you know, watching Bruce go to work and, you know, Jim. I mean, it was just a combination of so many things. Like, you know, obviously three out of the four AFC championship games were here.
Right.
You know, the comeback, you know. Even though, like, the comeback is, like, was part of us, I still think the most impressive thing that we've ever did, and the comeback was great. But scoring 21 points in 77 seconds against the Broncos, that was like, I mean, it was a continuous momentum changer and crowd
what
noise.
What year was that game, guys?
That was
remember?
90. That was the first Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.
That was, it was a week before this first Sunday night game here against the Raiders.
Which was a comeback.
Comeback. It was. And I was Dawson Knox was in here. We were talking about the Nyheim Hines kick return. And there's been a number of things that have happened that seemed like supernatural in that game. You know what I mean? That something else was there.
The ghosts.
Yeah, certainly the 77 second thing. That was an emotional wave that was just unstoppable. It felt like something else took over the whole game.
Yeah. And when you go back and you think about it, you know, Marv being the special teams guy, he said more than anything, a special team play for a touchdown would turn the momentum quicker than offensive or interception touchdown.
So touchdown. Nate Odoms comes off, blocks it, and Cornelius Bennett waits for it to come down, catches it, and then, you know, 6'4", 230, whatever it is. He outruns everybody. Like,
well, it was just a kicker and a holder.
Yeah, they're stumbling trying to keep up. He's gone.
Yeah.
We kick off, and Elway gets the pass tipped into
Leon Seals.
Leon Seals tips it. Leonard Smith, touchdown.
39-yard interception.
And then the next play, they screw up. We tackle him inside the five on the kickoff.
Yep.
And they bubble the snap. Cornelius covers that. And
next day, Kenny Davis.
Kenny Davis waltzes in. It was an unbelievable moment. I know a lot of people – it kind of gets forgotten in so many moments.
Right.
But it was – I think that was when the Bill – that was one of the times in that 1990 season when we went to the first Super Bowl where we went – the team went from being a – also ran into a contender and an iconic franchise. You know what I mean? One of those that people think about.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm getting kind of choked up now just even thinking about it, you know. I mean, this is the first time this has ever happened to me. I mean, my high school and my junior high school, you know, the stadium that we play is still up.
Yeah.
It's still up and going, you know. And now, even Oklahoma State, you know. And this one, just so many memories, even when, you know, I can – Terry and Kim and their family walking out the first game.
Oh, yeah.
After
dog had, running around.
Right, dog running
Terry
around.
Terry lost his dog.
Right, Terry lost
his dog. Has anyone seen my dog?
Right. And I'm like classic. Wow. Yeah, I'm like, wow, look at this. We got a dog running out here. Nobody can do anything about it but clean up after him.
Yeah. All right, so in an effort to save your emotions, I'll change the subject. As we know, James Cook has a chance at the rushing title, but he's only 47 yards
clear
ahead of Jonathan Taylor. And Jonathan Taylor's going to be playing with a rookie quarterback on Sunday because Riley Leonard is starting for the Colts in a meaningless game for them. And Derrick Henry has snuck back into the race after going for over 200 at Green Bay last week. He's only 137 yards behind. How, Thurm, you're the head coach of the Bills this week. Health is really important. You had a head coach that rested guys and didn't care about what anybody was going for because health was the priority for the playoffs. How do you handle this week with James Cook on the cusp of a rushing title, which you told us last week is really hard to get?
It's really hard to get, and I'll still say that. And but I think if you look at Sean McDermott and in the years that he's been here, you know, things like this are important to him and important to these players. Like, I mean, just take for instance, like Josh is supposed for his consecutive starts, right?
Right, right.
I mean, I'd seen what last year he went in for one play against New England. I think it wasn't came back out. So these things are important, but I mean, this is huge. I mean, I would love for him to get this rushing title, and I know, you know, people were saying things early in the year about wearing him out or whatever. I mean, guy hasn't missed a beat. He hasn't missed a beat. He's been.
I'm knocking on wood.
He's,
right
yeah,
now,
he's
by
been,
way.
But he's been, he's been protected. Like, like we haven't seen like all year long. We haven't seen him take a shot. He hasn't taken a shot all year long.
Yeah.
He's been able to dish out and carry the ball and get more touches. So I'd be, hey, look, if it's there for the taking, go get it.
Well, I think the hope is he has a big. First quarter, first half.
Right.
And
just which he's capable of.
Go wrap him in bubble wrap after that.
Like, yeah, say, which he's capable of. I think we've seen that in the last couple of years. Yeah. So, hey, look, you don't kind of want to be sitting over there because you're going to have to be playing the following week anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
So you still want to get in there and, maybe stay sharp and do some of the plays that you're strong at, which is running inside the tackles.
Yeah.
That's been one of his favorite spots to run the football. And you keep doing that, and you hope the game goes your way or however it may be. So, but I absolutely would love for my friend James to get this rushing title.
Yeah, wouldn't we all? I got to ask you this. So the Bills come out, say they're the sixth seed, which is the most likely, although, you know, it could be the seven, could be the five.
Right.
Three road games to get to the Super Bowl. It's a big ask.
Yeah.
I made the point earlier to Brownie that some of these teams, like Jacksonville, like Houston, they're on this real
– seven-game winning streak for Jacksonville, eight-game winning streak for Houston right now.
Yeah.
How hard is it to sustain – a winning streak and play your best.
They have to win
heading into the playoffs now.
They have to win 11 or 12 games.
That's
hard.
That's hard, yeah.
So I was like, you know, the Bills, that game yesterday.
This loss last week might be a blessing.
Yeah, it might be a blessing. Yeah. But I think, you know, if you look at those teams, obviously, number one, they're younger. They're younger than the Bills squad.
Yeah, that's
right?
Good for the most part.
They're younger.
Point.
So, I mean,
that's a really good point.
Yeah, so they're kind of looking at, like, you know, we're kind of like, you know, hold up. We don't want none of our guys to get hurt.
Yeah.
And they're probably going, hey, man, this is great. We ain't never been in this situation.
Give me more.
Exactly. Let's keep this train going. And so it's, other teams might see it differently. I think no matter what team we end up playing, Jacksonville or Baltimore,
Jacksonville, or New England.
New England, right. You know, we're going to be on the road, right? And, and, you know, I mean, Josh is kind of the oldest guy out of this entire group of quarterbacks that we have coming into here, right? Mm-hmm. So, it's just
all
like –
all of a sudden, he's the elder statesman.
Yeah, he's the elder statesman. And it's like, okay, well, you don't have Patrick Mahomes. You don't have Joe Burrows. You know, is this your time to do it? And can you do it with what we have right now? I think you can, but it's going to take a lot of –
this is
stuff going our way in order us. I mean, man, when you think about winning three games and going to, that's a tough act, especially on the road.
Well, I asked him because you guys did it, not three games, two games. because the playoff pool was smaller back then.
Yeah.
But in 92, you guys had to go on the road and win a couple of games. You had to win at Pittsburgh and then at Miami in the AFC Championship game. What do you recall about the grind that was, doing it on the road? Now, you were a battle-tested playoff team. So are the Bills now.
Yeah.
But just the challenge of that road, just to get to the big dance.
Well, Pittsburgh wasn't bad.
Yeah.
I think the following week, guys got energized because we were going to play in some hot weather.
It was right after. It was right after the comeback too.
After the comeback, it was right after Pittsburgh, and Frank was still the quarterback.
Frank was still the quarterback.
What was that 26-20 or 20-6?
20-6. And so it was different.
It was different. Yeah, but you know, like I said,
the comeback game gave us some momentum.
It did give us some momentum, And Pittsburgh was kind of an up-and-coming team at that time with Neil O'Donnell, I think it was the quarterback, you know, and Bill Cowher was sure there. But, yeah, I mean, you're going on the road, and I named a couple of those places. Like, we haven't had much luck in Jacksonville or against Jacksonville.
That's right. Well, they're 0-2 lifetime in the postseason. 96, Jim's last game here.
Yep, here.
Lost 30-27.
Yep.
And then the end of the drought, 2017.
Yeah.
Lost 10-3. At Jacksonville.
So,
I mean, Shady had a nice game.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the positive, okay, let's go to New England. But we just beat them a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know, that mindset has
a lot of people feel good about another game against New England. I don't know.
Well, you split with them this year, so it's not like going in there and you've beaten them twice and they're like, okay, they ain't going to, you know, that kind of thing. So it's, and they've got to have bad feelings about dropping a 21-point lead to the Bills the last time in their building. So it's,
that's what I kind of focus on. They're going to be naturally motivated to right what they feel is a wrong. You don't have any of that with Jacksonville. You know what I mean? You don't have any
There's
of that history
with
there,
Jacksonville.
Right? So I almost would rather play a team like that. And look, I know they're a hot team. They had an impressive 14-point win at Denver 2 weeks ago. I mean, so I know they're rolling into the playoffs uber confident. People are saying this is the most confident Trevor Lawrence has played his entire career. I get all that. But I don't know.
I mean,
let me ask you something different. How encouraged were you by the defensive performance this past week for the Bills?
I mean, look, we've kind of talked about it for the last six or seven games, how, boy, they stunk it up in the first half. Boy, they didn't let them score 7 points in the second half.
That's right.
It's been like that wave of up and down. Like
but 13 points total for the defending Super Bowl
13 point
total,
yeah. And like I said, you know, and you talk to a lot of the Eagles fans, you know, they're coming out for Super Bowl and they were still angry at their football team about the way they performed.
Right.
But, I mean, hey, you got one of the top backs in the league and he didn't have a typical big day. You know, people have been on Jalen Hurts all year long, you know, but I think for our defense, for what we have that are guys that are healthy right now, did an excellent job. You know, the thing that I got out of it at halftime when the offense got booed going into the locker room. I mean, that was like, whoa, what's going on here, you know? And
no points through three quarters.
No points through three quarters. I mean, and then with all top of that, we should have won the football game.
We should have won the football game.
So we've been in this situation all year long with these ups and downs of – you know, the special teams came through when we didn't think they would come through with Ray Davis, you know. So, you know, hey, look, I take my hat off to my group, the running backs. Thank you guys for performing well all year long.
My mantra has been for 2 or 3 years, you know, the Bills have been going to Kansas City and losing in heartbreaking fashion like three times. They can't, you know. And
they're not in the playoff pool, and
so
neither is Cincinnati.
My mantra because of that has been, listen, this team – including this one. And this one, you'd have to say this roster, because of the injuries, it's probably not as good as the rosters they've had in the last 4 years, maybe 3 or 4 years. But it's good enough to go to and do it, win it all. But you've got to play well on game day.
You've got to play well on that game day.
You can't puke the ball up on a short yardage play. You can't bobble a snap. You can't throw an incomplete pass, have it bounce backwards and have them call it a fumble. You know, you can't turn it over. You got to play your game. You got to play well. If you do that, you're going to win.
Yeah. This is like kind of turned into like the year the Giants won 3 road playoff games and went to win the Super Bowl against the Patriots when they were 18-0, 17-0.
That's right.
Yeah, that's the type of –
the Giants
leadership
limping in.
Yeah, limping in, leadership, guys stepping up. It doesn't always have to be the main guy all the time. Guys stepping up. It's not win, you know, it's lose, you go home.
Right.
Regular season is win. Okay, we can fix this next week. There's no next week after that. Right. And so that's that mindset. I mean, look, these guys have been battle tested throughout the and you're talking about, like, if you look at the roster, the entire team.
It's a veteran playoff team.
It's a veteran playoff team. Yeah.
It didn't start out that way, but now
Milano it is.
Milano and Poyer, all these guys.
Yeah.
Trey,
right? Who's been playing great?
Trey
has been.
These guys weren't supposed to play.
No, it wasn't. Alone.
And they have been the guys who have stepped up and contributed in those moments.
In those moments.
Terrell Bernard has played well when he's had a chance. And now Milano, Shaq Thompson has been a huge boost. He's kind of got that veteran grit kind of thing as an 11-year vet. So these, you know, Bosa's the same thing. He's long in the tooth, but it's his first year here. But he's you know, he knows what's going on. You get these long in the tooth guys that start showing these young guys, like, listen, you got to do it.
You got to, like, wait.
Now's the time.
This is a guy in his 11th year. Look at him. He's still, like, ready to go. Those young guys look at that.
I think that gives them something that they maybe have lacked.
Speaking of grizzled veterans, Brandon Cooks took the top off the defense a couple of times last week. That's now on film for playoff defensive coordinators that have to face this offense. How do you see that paying dividends to the other aspects of Buffalo's offense with this now on film?
Well, now with Brandon coming through the last couple of games on a couple of deep balls by Josh, now you get to see, okay, well, that's covered. What about that 20-yard end coming in behind it? You know, so you start stretching the defense a little bit more. And like the linebackers are like, okay, well, we got to drop back 15, 20 yards now. So I think that's going to help.
Kincaid and Shakir?
I think so. I think so. And I think you give them routes. You know, you have them run them routes, Max. But look, we haven't seen them really all year. So now with Brandon Cooks in there, you're spreading the field a little bit wider than you usually are or have been the first 13 or 14 weeks.
Yeah. So – now that we're coming down to the end of this year, when will you, do you think you'll start saying, I can't wait for the new building. I want to go in there and see, you know what I mean? When are you going to start looking forward to it?
Flip?
When this one's finally gone, you ain't going to have, nothing's in there anymore. Is it going to be then where you're going to say, I can't wait for the new game? And is it going to be in the off season when training camp starts or what?
It started about a year and a half ago. When they first took
when they
took the first dirt out of the ground over there, that's when it started for me.
I was looking forward
to it. I'm like, oh, this is going to be nice. And then you start looking at the plans, the layout of it, which was done by Populous. I started a long time ago. But like you say, when you miss a couple of weeks and you go over there, things change. And they have changed tremendously and can't wait for, I mean, it's like, we're closing this one, but I'm like, I'm excited to get in this new one here. And what would make it more exciting is just kind of the stuff that we just talked about. If the team can go on a run and end up walking in that place with a Lombardi.
That would kind of top it off, right?
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not asking for much.
I'm just looking forward to getting in that building, man, and creating those memories because, I mean, I don't know how many more years Josh and Dion and all these guys have. You know, I mean, somebody's
going to,
you know, when Josh and them retire, somebody else got to create more memories in this place.
There's going to be other great players that come through that building, just like there were here.
Absolutely.
They opened it up in 72, the old Highmark, and it wasn't until the mid-80s that you and I showed up and all those jokers. So there's going to be
– there wasn't a home playoff game. Steve reminded us all of this. We actually – did a Games to Remember episode on. Bills didn't have a home playoff game in then Rich Stadium until 1988 is when you guys had played against Houston.
14
in the divisional
was it
playoff.
That long?
14 years after they opened it. 72
no
to
home
86.
Playoff games in there until 1988.
No, 1988. Really? I'm sorry. It was 16. Was it 16 years? 15, 16 years before they had a home playoff
game. So their playoff games were on the road?
Yes.
Yeah.
When they
all
made
of them.
It. Yes.
Every single
really?
One.
Wow, I didn't even know that.
You and I were in the first playoff game in Old Highmark.
Wow.
That Oilers game where we beat them 17-10. Yeah.
Yeah.
First one. And that – so it was – yeah, there will be great players making their way through the new stadium, and we'll never have even known what that other stadium has looked like, let alone
look like. Right?
Wow, it's, well, it's, yeah, that's going to be.
That's why we have you guys around to tell old stories.
I wasn't around for War Memorial.
I hate to say it. Despite, I'm right there with you.
Despite where I'm headed, I'm not there yet. I'm not that bitter yet. I want to be the bitter old man telling old stories. Right, where nobody wants me.
Never mind that his grandkids. Nobody wants me. Never mind that his grandkids already call him Grumpa. So
Grumpa, that's right. You are Grumpa.
I am. I am.
Thurm, thanks for spending some time with us. Happy New Year to you and your family, and we'll see you out here on Sunday.
All right, same to you guys. Right, happy holidays.
Bills Hall of Famers Thurman Thomas joining us. We'll take a break. Be back with more here on One Bills Live. Stay tuned. Got Ryan Fitzpatrick coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, I'm certainly not going to overcompensate either way. I'm not going to go out of my way to not let him get the record, and I'm not going to go out of my way to let him get the record either. I'm going to go and play football. There's going to be situations that a sack is the best of the bad outcomes of that play, and maybe I take one. And there's going to be other situations that I'm about to get sacked, and I need to throw it away in that situation. It's such a situational game that I don't think you can go in thinking one way or the other.
Joe Burrow. I've heard him talk this way about sacks before, and it's unusual to hear a quarterback talk about a sack ever, like, not being, not literally versus, say, an interception, but the kind of outcome of a play where you just would never give it any sort of upside. But Burrow has talked like that before. He takes a lot of sacks. I think I would probably bet that Garrett gets one against the Bengals. And, you know, I would have to admit, some of that is what Burrow just said. There are times when it's the best outcome of a play, as opposed to what? You know, throwing the ball out of bounds? I would say, like this has been said already, but Aaron Rodgers, as Sal and I talked about for the Steelers against the Browns, and maybe you saw the same thing, anytime Garrett got a step, and Rodgers probably thought he was getting a step when he wasn't, just from behind him, but he got rid of the ball so fast in that game. And they scored 6 points. I bet that is maybe what Joe Burrow would say to that. Pittsburgh scored 6 points against the Browns. It looked like it's so easy to dislike Rodgers. Like, not only does he seem to shun coaching and, you know, he's been this certain way for a few years, if not for a long time, but he's always just sort of rolling his eyes and pointing fingers and throwing up his hands. Like, he doesn't even bother to try to mask his frustration with teammates and, you know, the people he works with, including the coaching staff. It's insufferable. If you're going to do that, you need to be, like, great. I think that's the only way that's okay. And even then, it's not ideal. But he's not great. And it's got to be just such an annoyance, to say the least, for a lot of those people he's around. I mean, it looked like he was calling off play calls and just making plans with Marquez Valdez-Scantling, former Packer, former Bill, to beat guys one-on-one, and he's not going to do that, and that almost never happened in this game. Enough about Aaron Rodgers. Let's go to Al next. Hi, Al.
Hey, I just wanted your take on this. This season kind of, going into the playoffs, kind of feels like 2 years ago Kansas City when they had to go on the road.
Okay, yeah. Sure.
I'm just wondering what you thought, if that has any similarities.
Sure, yes. I think the difference in terms of sort of the outside perspective is that the Bills haven't won it yet, and the Chiefs had maybe won it twice already. So it was that year for me, it was like bet against Kansas City at your own peril. And I'm not sure the Bills rate quite on – I think they don't rate quite on the same level, but it's still a valid comparison. Like – they might be favored in every game, even despite the fact that they're on the road, I think.
Right. Yeah. All right, well, thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, the Chiefs had to – they got to play the first game at home, Kansas City. They beat Miami that year in super cold weather. And then they came here. What were they, the three? Came here to play the Bills, who were the two, and then they went to Baltimore to play the one, and they won both of those games, and then beat San Francisco again, right? Yeah, I think that's what happened. Thanks, Al. Here's Chris next. Hi, Chris.
How you doing, Mike?
Good, thank you.
Hope you had a good holiday and your vacation from Bulldog.
You know, I miss him.
The reason I call in, I've been listening, a long-time listener, long-time season ticket holder. I'll make it real quick because I know you got Paul Hamilton coming on.
No, but, I don't. How'd you know? Oh, why would you?
At least Sabres talk.
No, I don't have anything of the sort planned today.
Memorable times in the stadium, real quick, was Cornelius Bennett's first game against John Elway. Bought tickets like 2 days before the game. Mm-hmm. And most people don't realize he wore number 55 when he started.
For a couple years.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Loudest the stadium was, I still think, was the Patriots 0-degree game where everybody stood the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
No pun, you know, recently that was. But mm-hmm. biggest reason I called was the Dick Duron years. My son was 12 years old. My wife entered a Topps Friendly Market thing, and he won the kickoff kid. Tickets for four against the Jets, Bills. Went to the game. Got a jersey from the Bills. Terrible uniform, by the way. And brought us right down to the field. It was Molloy, Lossman. It was Bledsoe and everything. And the Bills lost a toss, so he couldn't do the kickoff kid, run out there and get the tee.
All right.
Brought us back up. Second half, went back down through the tunnel. Saw the worst general manager they ever had in Donahoe standing there. Went out on the field for the second half, and he was supposed to get the tee. And Duron, they didn't kick off for some reason because they changed the wind. They did something goofy. Oh. He never was able to run out on the field and get the tee. We
really?
Still joke about it at every game. I called Howard Simon the next day, wrote the Bills. It was unbelievable. They did not let him go out and get the tee. True story.
So that would only be the first kickoff of the half.
Yes.
And
yes.
In this game, it turned out that they took the ball. They were able to receive twice.
Yes. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's happened since.
No. Dick Duron made it happen. True
well,
story.
Well, it would have been maybe not.
Yes.
One of the coaches has to decide that they want to kick off instead of receiving.
Correct, and that's what happened.
And you think it was the Bills that made that decision?
I'm not sure, but at least the judge should have just let the kid run out and get the tee and take it around to him.
Or couldn't you do it for some other kickoff in the game? I guess it's not sponsored in the same way.
So with the three season tickets we have right now, we got tickets going to the new stadium. Every time we go to a game, we just the kickoff kid goes out there and slides on the ground. You know, it was just
an
experience you never forget. You know,
when
I was playing to a 12-year-old, you know.
I guess maybe this is like 10 years ago now, but when Bulldog and I were going to games regularly at the stadium and doing post-game from the booth, which we stopped doing during COVID. There was a Packers game that you might remember when Marone was the coach. And I would go on the field with Joe Biscaglia. We would take a lap on the field. We would compare socks. Joe was into his socks. And I came to really love being on the field, just watching Aaron Rodgers, in that case, warm up. I got a kick out of that, like watching a pitcher warm up or something, like seeing how the quarterback goes about his routine. And the Bills put a stop to it. Like eventually I didn't make the cut for being able to go on the field. But when I could, I really enjoyed doing that. And I don't think I ever did as a fan, but.
We were right down by the bench, and it's funny. We still got pitchers, and I looked through them here recently, and Ross Tucker's on the team, and
yeah.
I was going to send it to him. It was fun, but it's a wild story that I wanted to call in.
Yeah.
I appreciate your time.
You're welcome.
Everything you guys do.
Thank you, Chris. Happy New Year. I want to look that up now. I have no doubt he's telling it right. That Bennett game he mentioned. 1987 strike year, and the final score, I have always remembered this one. I didn't go to this game, but I've always remembered it. Not on TV. 21-14 is the final, but the Bills got to 21 with two safeties. And there were no two-point conversions in those years either. So 7-0, 9-0 on a blocked punt, 16-0, 18-0 on another blocked punt. Rob Riddick, Steve Tasker. Couldn't they have recovered one of these punts? So 18-0. Hi, Steve. Scott Norwood field goal, 21-0 in the third quarter. Then Denver, two touchdowns, 21-14. Bennett's first game. Famous because he was awesome in that game. Made a huge impression right away. All right, time for a break. This is Mike Shope. Happy New Year. Thanks for listening to WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, back here on One Bills Live, Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you, and we'll be joined by former Bills quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick in just a bit as we try to get some more memories from yesteryear for Highmark Stadium. I believe when Fitz first got here, it was still called Ralph Wilson Stadium. As a matter of fact, I don't know if it had the Highmark moniker before he left. I don't think it did because he was out of here after 2012.
Yeah,
made some return appearances in a visiting uniform.
Yeah, came back with the Jets.
Played for a handful of other teams before he hung him up. But I don't know if he got back.
He played with a bunch of teams.
He played against the Bills as a member of the Texans, but that was in Houston. I remember that. And then with Miami. So, yeah. The only team he didn't play for in this division was the Patriots. So,
yeah,
pretty wild. While we're waiting on Fitz, we'll take a phone call. We'll go to Glenn in Newfane. What do you got for us, Glenn? You're on One Bills Live.
Well, happy New Year to everybody. Have a safe and fun time tonight. And we got this. The thinking back to my season ticket years at Rich Stadium, probably 86 to 96, like the whole heyday was in there. So many games in there. Like, my memory's terrible, but last night I was watching the farewell video on YouTube, which you guys, great job on that. Whoever made it, I'm looking at these games, and it's reminding me of really how much I forgot. It's crazy how many action-packed moments, how many memories were packed into a very short period of time there after the drought, or actually before our now we got like drought one, drought two. I don't like counting droughts.
No,
but
we don't.
I just wanted to say it was interesting to see things. I thought I knew a lot about the team, but looking back, like, for example, there was a guy who looked very familiar. I think his name was Champlin.
Steve Champlin.
Is it?
Yes.
Yeah, and when they were talking about the plans for the stadium, for Rich Stadium originally, I didn't realize there were like three other locations. They were actually showing the diagrams, which I found to be like incredible. I didn't even know there were like three other locations they were looking at the time. That was extremely interesting. And also, there was a game, one of those many moments I forgot all about, and I can't remember if it was the Kansas City game with Joe Montana, because I remember it's the only time I ever sat in the upper end zone. So I remember, like, the view I was looking at when we, like, basically killed him. I'm going, oh, no, we killed Joe Montana.
Oh, you know. The third quarter of the last AFC title game against the Chiefs, yeah.
My favorite sign that day, Marty Schottenheimer was the coach, and somebody took the amount of time to, it was like still kind of the end of maybe the disco era. Hey, Marty, this ain't no party. This ain't no disco. This ain't no fooling around. And it was on the face of the upper deck area, which I just found interesting. I just want to thank everybody that was a part of that video.
Yeah.
It was great. And I recommend anybody who's been following the Bills as I have since 1960. I was 3 years old. My memories aren't that vivid back then, but recommend anybody, if you see the video Farewell, check it out. It's great. Yeah. Happy New Year to you guys.
Thanks,
Go
Glenn.
Bills.
Go Thanks, Bills. Glenn. Thanks. Appreciate that. Yeah, our video team did a great job with that. Alex Odahowski was the chief editor on the project, but a lot of hands went into putting that together. It's on our Bills YouTube channel. Just look up Farewell to Highmark Stadium in the search bar at YouTube.com on the Bills channel. It'll come right up. Got to turn now, though, to another guest, Ryan Fitzpatrick, former Bills quarterback. Obviously played quarterback for a few other teams, but that's how we remember him here. And as you know, you see Fitz on the Amazon pre, halftime, and postgame shows for Amazon Prime telecasts on Thursday Night Football. So, Fitz, great to have you. Thanks for making some time. I wanted to ask you this one right off the rip. What is more memorable for you? I think I know the answer, but I'm just throwing this out there anyway. Is it the game that ended the streak for the Patriots in week 3 of 2011? Or was it the perfect playoff game where you ripped your shirt off in 5-degree weather and acted like a raving lunatic?
Yeah, I have 3 crazy memories, and those are 2 of them. I would say the New England game is probably number one. Well, I guess they were both New England games, but the New England game that I played in was probably number one because the streak ended, being on the field after the game, just, you know, being at one with the fans in that moment and truly understanding the pain that they had gone through and how much that meant to them and guys that had been on the team forever. You know, the Freddie Jays and Kyle Williams and those type of guys, the Show Bulls, that was a pretty cool moment for us. And even in just the fashion that it happened at the end of the game with Lindell making that field goal.
Yeah, and you have been back, and you have a large family, a number of which were born here in Buffalo. You made the trip back, and the great video of you shirtless up in the stands when he came back just to be a part of the group, and because your kids kind of think of this, I guess they have some fond memories of their time here in Buffalo. Still have probably some buddies here, and that's gotta mean something to your family when you're sitting around talking about your memories as a player.
It does. That the New England game that I was in the stands for, the perfect, 7 touchdowns and 7 drives. I was there with my 2 oldest boys at the time. I believe they were 14 and 12.
Yeah.
And had a couple buddies from Tampa in with us, and we all threw the shirts off at the end. That's a really special memory. We try to get it back every year. Unfortunately, this year there probably won't be a home playoff game.
Right.
But special memories with my boys doing that and just interacting with the fans and for them to understand how special of a place it is. We've got some great memories there.
Yeah. I mean, and that's, I think my biggest takeaway from your era in Bills football, with you and Freddie and Stevie, E. Wood, obviously, and a lot of other guys, is how you were probably the most interconnected teams with the fan base that I've seen in my 30 years of being around this team. It was the dawn of social media. Obviously, Stevie was, the front man in that effort. But the way in which your group connected with the fans was, I think, unique. And I think it's one of the reasons that your teams from that brief window of time are still so beloved by the fan base, even though the level of success wasn't, what this current iteration of the Bills are, you're still fondly remembered. What can you say about the way in which you felt you connected with the fan base as a group?
If you just think about the offense at that time, right? I was a 7th round pick that had been on a couple different teams. Fred Jackson, a great story that we all know, co-college undrafted. Scott Chandler, we picked him up off a trash heap. Donald Jones, Naaman Roosevelt, David Nelson. You had all these guys that were Stevie Johnson, 7th round pick, that were so unheralded. And I think that part of it, the underdog part of that, guys that, people had already discarded and thrown away and didn't think anything of, to go out there and to have a little bit of success. But really, our time going to training camp and getting to interact with the fans and being at St. John Fisher, that's like one of my favorite moments. Just going out to dinner and going out on town and interacting with people. And then for me, it was also just the people of Buffalo, like my neighborhood, Crockpot Sunday, baby. We would always have that 1 o'clock game and then would come home and everybody would sit out in their front yard and make something in the crock pot and we would hang out and play with the kids all night long. So those are some of the fondest memories I have. And I think that part of it, the underdog part of that team, was something that really helped in terms of connecting with the fans.
Well, this current iteration of the Bills with Josh over the last 4 or 5 years now, certainly this is the first time in 5 years where they've won the division. They're coming in as a wild card. It's a little bit of a different animal. And just the fact that they probably still have it under the hood to play well and play well wherever they go. They've got the elder statesman quarterback in the entire bracket of the AFC. And their defense has taken a huge uptick over the last month. All of that being said, and how good they look and how good they can play and how good a player Josh can be and the fact they run the ball, you still have to play well on that last game of the year, that playoff game. You got to play well on that day. How do you see these playoffs shaking out? Who do you like in this field, you know, from Houston and L.A. Chargers all the way up through the four division winners in Buffalo?
Yeah, I think you sit there and you try to figure it out. And, you know, is Buffalo going to play Jacksonville during the first round? The way I look at it is, like, Buffalo versus any of these teams, what do you think? Like, how do you feel? And I think as fans, like, if you would have told me at the beginning of the year that Mahomes wasn't going to be in the playoffs and there's a chance Lamar's not going to be in the playoffs and Josh was going to be the elder statesman, other than maybe, you know, Aaron Rodgers and a Pittsburgh Steelers team, I think you'd feel pretty good. And I do feel pretty good this year because the AFC is so up in the air. I mean, it really is. You can't tell me that Buffalo can't beat New England because they've already done it. You can't tell me that Buffalo is not going to be able to go to Denver and beat Denver. So I feel really good about it. And I think one of the key components, too, looking at that last game against Philly, didn't play great. And Josh, when does he play his best? He hates letting people down, you know, and I feel like in that game, he misses the last throw on the 2-point conversion. That's a burden that he carries and carries amazingly, and it's something that always brings out the best in him. So I think we're going to continue to see the best version of Josh Allen in the playoffs this year.
So Fitz, at the very top, you told us that the perfect playoff game and then the 2011 Week 3 comeback win over the Patriots in 2011 was two of your three. What's the third?
Well, the third is not a pleasant one, which is when I was on the Jets, we were 10-5 vying for the playoff spot. I know where he's
going. Win it, right?
And Rex was in his first year and, you know, a meaningless game for the Bills, and we ended up losing. That's also one that really sticks out. But another positive one to end on, since we can't end on a sour note, would be when I got to do the intro, the Where Else Would You Rather Be Than Right Here, Right Now. I got to bring my dad. I had all three of my boys there, and they were standing right next to me when it happened. And just a really cool full circle moment for me to be able to experience and share that with my kids. My youngest, my six-year-old, definitely thinks I'm a rock star because of that moment right there.
Yeah, I'd probably put Raiders Week 2 on that list too, because that was a hell of a comeback also. David Nelson at the
fun.
End, right?
That, you know, a lot of high-pitched screaming, but that was fun. That
well,
was
yeah, great, yeah, I wasn't going to say it. You chose to bring it up, but yeah. I think, what was that? David Nelson, David Nelson, right?
David Nelson, yep, right over the middle. There it is.
Yeah. And that was some fun times. And you're right, Fitz. The roster there you had around you, and you went through it, you know, undrafted guys on the scrap heap, low-round picks, that all came together and became something that fans appreciated. And the level of success, didn't get as many wins as you wanted to, but man, what a fun group to be a part of, to cover, easy to root for, even in losses, for the very reason you mentioned. It's got to be something that very nostalgic for your crew as this stadium closes down.
Yeah, very, very nostalgic. And I also think, you know, the cool part about being a Buffalo Bill is just getting to know all the other guys, getting to know you, you know, Thurman, Andre, Jim obviously being around, and just it's a community. It's even though we all kind of played in different eras, and obviously you guys had a ton of success, it was always welcome with open arms, anybody that was going to come onto this team and be a part of this community. And so I think that's what sets Buffalo apart from other places as well. And there's so many great memories in this stadium, but I mean, walking around the new stadium, I'm pretty excited for that one to open up too, because it was pretty spectacular. I got to go in there right before our Thursday night game, so it was just before they had laid the grass, which I had no idea that it was going to be grass at the time, but it's going to be pretty spectacular as well. Lots of new memories to be created.
Yeah. Fitz, thanks for spending some time with us. We really appreciate it, and we'll see you up here in the not-too-distant future, I'm sure. Take care and have a happy new year with your family.
All right. Happy new year, guys. Thank you.
All right, that's Ryan Fitzpatrick joining us. And, you know, he mentioned the Week 3 2011 game, Steve, and I'll just say he mentioned, you know, having potluck dinners with the neighbors after he'd come home from 1 o'clock games. That game, it was a 70-degree day, late September. People have the windows open on their houses, and I still remember coming home from that game and my wife telling me, because she was watching that game at home, she said when the field goal went through, she could hear other neighbors in the neighborhood, because everybody's windows were open, it was a beautiful day, cheering in their homes, you know, just in their neighborhood.
Watch the fans absolutely lose it. They show quick shots of the Bills fans, and they're hopping up and down, jumping. They're hugging each other. They're not even looking at the field. They go to 3-0
with that win.
Yeah. And they're not even facing the field. They're not even watching anymore. They're looking at their friends, and they're all hugging each other. Yeah, they're all hugging each other. I've made that statement a lot, that there's nothing like looking up when something like that happens. Something not expected, because you knew there's a field goal was either hit or miss. But when some of these things happen that we all remember, you look up into the stands in Highmark, and it's like nothing you've ever seen before. Yeah. To see the fans ecstatic like that.
We got to take a break here. One segment to go. We'll see if we can squeeze in a phone call when we return. Here on One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health, it's Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Well, I will tell you that when you're in this business and you have the responsibility, you know, of hosting a show for a couple hours, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, whatever it is, in this case, 2 hours, here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, you know, your job a lot of times is to set the tenor of the show, to set a direction to the tone of it. You know, I always say here on 10 to 12 on Monday and Friday, especially on Monday, and then again on Friday, that the show is about you. It's not about me, it's about you. It's a reaction show on Monday. So that's about you. You call up, you tell me what you thought about the game the previous Sunday or Thursday night or whatever. And then on Friday, a bit of a hodgepodge of that. You call up, but now we're getting towards a game. There's no reaction necessarily. And we're talking about what's going on. We mix in a little bit of other things, Sabres, especially nowadays when, you know, they're winning 10 in a row. But Friday is also Sean McDermott. And I know a lot of you tune in for that. Who's playing, who's not playing, what's going to happen on Sunday, how are they you know, feeling about injuries, stuff like that. So that's my job today, right? To kind of set the direction, set the tone, set the tenor of the show. And I got to be really, really honest. I kind of don't know how to do that today. And I'm not trying to be dramatic. What I mean is, this show could be super emotional today. It could also be super fun. It's whatever, whichever, however you want to deal with and process what's going to happen a little more than 48 hours from now. When a lot of you start venturing into Highmark Stadium for the last time ever, or watching on TV a game played there for the last time ever, it's not going to be easy for a lot of us to go through the emotions that are going to be happening on Sunday. And again, I'm not trying to be dramatic when I say this, okay? I've been on the radio long enough to go through a lot of ups and a lot of downs and highs and lows and deal with them with you. And we all process this together. And I always appreciate everybody when they say, oh my God, like listening to you when you come on Monday after a loss or after a win, you kind of put me in the right space. And I appreciate that. That's what I try to do. But I've also been around for, unfortunately, people passing, right? Like we talk about somebody's legacy and what they meant. And I remember recently Art Wander, right? When that happened, a radio personality. I remember Ralph Wilson, of course, Kobe Bryant's death, right? Just, and stay with me for a minute here. I kind of feel like, you know, and I always say everybody processes grief differently. But one thing we do is we celebrate life when we talk about that. And I thought a little bit today, like, listen, this stadium is, it's going away. It's not going to be there anymore. And we're all very, very sad in our own way about it. But the cool part is we're celebrating its life today. That's what we're doing. We're celebrating its life over the next, we've been doing it for the whole season, but now it's here. Now it is here. It is a celebration of life of Highmark Stadium. That's what it is. The life it gave us. The life it gave our community. The life it gave the NFL. It's one of the, folks, I have been to every stadium in this league except for three of them. The only ones I haven't been to, and it was because of the COVID year, we didn't travel, Arizona, San Francisco, and Las Vegas, the new stadium there. I've been to every other venue that's currently in existence in this league. There is something special about this one. It is special. And I'm not just saying this as the Buffalo Bills sideline reporter. I'm not just saying this as a kid who grew up in Cheektowaga and went to games and came back from Syracuse University on a Greyhound bus for games during the 1990s and Super Bowl years. I'm not just saying this as a guy who's experienced all of these kind of iconic great moments inside the stadium as a fan or as a professional. I'm saying it because I've been around this league. I know what these environments are like. I've been on the sidelines. I've been in the press box. I've been in the stands at some of them. It is a special place. The new place is going to be really, really awesome. It's going to be really, really special in its own right. But we're going to take away so much of this that we have today. Talk about today. Apologies, my text was going off there. See how he ruined the moment there. That did not. But we're going to have so much to take with us from this stadium. The memories. Don't take anything physical. Okay, don't do that. We're going to have so much to remember. So many iconic moments and people. And it's so tough to explain or get through them all here on a two-hour radio show. But I want to do that today as much as I can with you. So welcome into a Buffalo Football Friday here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you, and our Buffalo Football Friday is brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. Call the 8s. And Crosby's Pizza and Subs, Crosby's Hometown Fuel, game day ready. since 1922. Okay, let me set up the show for you today, and let me take your phone calls as well. 803-0550. I have my own memories. I'll get into them, but I want you to share yours. I did a podcast last night with Matt Bove. Always Game Day in Buffalo. Check it out. Wherever you pod, the Odyssey app, at Sal Sports on YouTube. And it was really, really awesome to go through those with him. We went for over an hour just going back and forth on this, on different things and memories and moments. So check it out. And you can get more from me there, but I'll touch on a few along the way here. But I want to hear from you today at 803-0550. We are going to have Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott a little bit, about an hour from now, for his weekly radio segment. Bills play the Jets, of course, on Sunday. There is a football game on Sunday on the field for 60 minutes. Not just the celebration of life of Highmark Stadium. We'll also have Patrick Hammer. If you're going to the game, what's the weather going to be like? The tailgating. We'll have him at 11:30. But I got a special treat for you. At 10:30, bottom of the hour, be listening. If you watched the Bills Highmark Stadium YouTube video, the retrospective, if you watched it, it was amazing. It's phenomenal. Go watch it. If you haven't, go see it. It's 45 minutes long. It's going to make you emotional and cry. And one of the people who was very prominently featured early on, his name is Bill Munson. Bill, I think this is right, at the time he retired a few years ago, was the longest tenured Buffalo Bills employee. And he had been with the team since the schematics of the Dome in Lancaster and this stadium, Highmark Stadium. And they show it on this video. It's incredible. And Bill and I have known each other for years. And I said, hey, would you like to come on WGR with me this morning to talk a little bit about the memories of Highmark Stadium, the building of it, the memories you have? And he said, absolutely. So Bill Munson's going to join me at 10:30 a.m. I can't wait. In the meantime, let's talk to you today. Let's go to Bill in North Tonawanda, speaking of Bill. Hi, Bill. You're on WGR. Go ahead. Good to talk to you again.
Hello, Sal. Huge fan.
Thank you.
I called this morning and got cut off accidentally, which was, you know, but I called back because I got a good one for you. I'll bet you remember it. November 13th, 2005, I was a security guard working the scoreboard end of the field. Lee Evans caught a touchdown pass, was tackled by Eric Warfield. I was run over. I broke my leg and blew out my knee.
Oh.
And I got my 30 seconds or whatever of fame because they wheeled me off on the gator.
Oh, jeez.
I got to shake hands with Lossman. Malarkey was there. He shook my hand. The paramedic who was with me, because Bud Carpenter? Who was the...
Bud Carpenter was there many years, yep.
Yeah, Bud Carpenter was there. He's taking care of me. And as I went off, the paramedic says to me, why don't you give the fans a thumbs up? Well, I threw my arms up in the air. 70,000 people cheered for me. I was, like I said, I got my 15 minutes of fame, and I'm sitting there laying on the ground. Wasn't in too good a shape, you know, because I broke my ankle, broke just above the ankle. And my phone starts ringing, and my wife, Pam, goes, he says, answer it, put it on speaker. Well, all of a sudden, she comes out, oh, my God, we saw you again, are you okay? And it was, you know, it was one of the most memorable things that ever happened in my life. And, you know, I got a thing on, Chris Berman put it on his fastest 3 minutes the next day or whenever they did it. And I got that video from somebody.
Awesome.
But the best part of the whole deal, and I'll make this quick, the very next day on that Monday, the 14th, a Buffalo Bills representative came and knocked on my door. They gave me this great big chocolate chip cookie bouquet, and I got a letter that I still have that Ralph Wilson invited me to the game 2 weeks from them with my wife. And we went and saw the Carolina Panthers, Carolina, and got to sit in the press box right behind Murph, and I don't even remember who was with him. Van Miller had retired, and he was sitting over two
seats.
Yeah,
Bill, I got a lot of people on hold here, buddy. I'm sorry, I got to go. I want to get to them too. So try to wrap it up for me.
Okay, wrapping it up. You know, the last thing is I went down to the locker room. I was on crutches. And Lee Evans said, anything I can do for you. I says, I'd like a game-used football.
Did he give it to you?
I mean, a football, he got it. He signed it. Lossman signed it, and I'm a happy man.
You got it, Bill. And thanks a lot for the call, buddy. All right, we're going to move on to Billy in Toronto. Hi, Billy. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Yeah, listen. Been to many games. Love coming down. This is obviously a Canadian call. Love coming down, and love the stadium. I mean, I'm also a big baseball fan, so I will always be in your city. I mean, I love AAA baseball. So, but you know, Sal, my greatest I can't tell you any great memories. Everything's been good. I love the long drive down. Even getting stuck at that damn border sometimes for too long of a time. I mean, it's always worthwhile coming down there, and it's not like it's over because the stadium is right next door. So, but my here's memories that I would like to see happen in this game that we're playing. And I know this is not going to be popular and it's going to get shot down. This is just my point of view. This is the last game there. This Buffalo team all year has not played well. We've stole victories. We've come back and we've won games and now we're in the playoffs. This is what I would like to see in the last game. And here you go, Sal. I don't want to see us sitting that damn team out. I know Josh is hurt. I know he's beat up a little bit. I don't want to see one play and you're out of the damn game with everybody.
Okay.
I want us to go into this game.
Yeah, I totally disagree with you. If Josh Allen played more than that and he got hurt, you'd be the first person to call and say, how stupid was that?
No, I would not, Sal.
Okay.
No,
well, I would say it.
That's fine. But I want to see, and this goes into it also being the last game of the year. If this was a game, that didn't mean anything in the playoffs or stuff like that, I wouldn't say this.
It doesn't.
I want us to be ready.
Yep.
I want us to blow the Jets off.
All right. It doesn't mean anything, Billy. I gotta run, buddy. I gotta run. I totally disagree with you. I think the Bills should absolutely prioritize health in this game. Let's go to Steve, who's up next. Hi, Steve. What's up?
Hey, I was curious as to the situation with the new stadium. I hate to jump ahead, but
it's okay.
With the snow shoveling that's going on in the old stadium, did anybody take a look at the seating areas now in the new stadium to see if that's going to be the same situation?
I mean, the new stadium should not have the same issues because it's built to withstand and to melt the snow.
Yeah, well, the seating area isn't so.
Yeah, I don't really know, Steve. Probably above my head. Somebody could probably answer that a little better, maybe. I'm not sure, but you shouldn't have the same. What do you mean by seating areas? Like, yes, that's right. I know in the stands, but you're going to have, most of it covered. A lot of the snow will not fall into the stands. Actually, where it is right now. Let's go to Jerry in Medina. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, Sal. How you doing, man?
I'm good. Thanks.
Hey, first off, big fan. Love what you bring to us listeners about the organization. You do tremendous work, man. When I think about the stadium, I've been thinking about this the last couple of days, kind of live my life a little bit. I was in high school back during the Super Bowl runs. And at the time, it was just my mother and I lost my dad when I was young. It was just my mom and I. She couldn't afford much, but a couple times a year, I got a chance to go to games. One time courtesy of a boss of hers that had club seats and was tremendously, great with me and took me to at least a game a year for a few year stretch. And during the same time, I would manage to get together with my uncle and my cousin. Mom would drop me off at the Pembroke rest stop to meet up with them. I'd hook up with them, go to the stadium, have a nice tailgate with them and their friends, caught some really, really great games during that time. Probably the 51-3 whomping of the Raiders was the best during that time. And it's brought me to where I am today. 49-year-old father, it's become an annual tradition to make it to one game with my two oldest children. And it's just something that myself and my two oldest really look forward to. And I know it's probably going to be difficult, but we're kind of hoping to keep that going into the new stadium. But we'll tackle that when that comes. But that's what gets me thinking.
You got
it. About this game.
Yeah, Jerry. And I agree with you. 51-3 is number one for me. And I've said it. I said it last night on the pod. And I'll say it again here that it is almost impossible to explain to people what 51-3 was like unless you were there. It's almost impossible. you have to remember, the Bills had never been to the Super Bowl. It was their first run at it. They had gone to the AFC Championship game 2 years before and lost at Cincinnati. They had gone to Cleveland the year before that and lost in the divisional round in an epic game. And then that year, they go to the AFC Championship game after beating Miami in the snow, 44-34, the week before, Kelly and Marino going at it. They go to the AFC Championship game. You are 60 minutes away from going to your first ever Super Bowl. And in the backdrop of this game was Desert Shield and Desert Storm, the first Iraq War, 1990 into 91. The patriotism off the charts, the security off the charts. And you go into the game against the Raiders, this traditional team that's won Super Bowls. They weren't far removed from their heyday of the 70s and 80s. And yeah, they hadn't been great necessarily, but you know, that mystique. And you get in there, and what's hard to explain, 41-3 at halftime. 41-3 at halftime. And for an hour and a half, essentially, 80,000 people knew the Buffalo Bills were going to the Super Bowl and partied like it. That's what 51-3 was. It wasn't too dissimilar to the perfect game against the Patriots, except the Bills weren't going to the Super Bowl, but you knew. The entire second half, you have finally slayed the dragon of the Patriots, and this is now the Bills' division. And you have Josh Allen, and they don't. And people who stayed in that stadium to think about it, to revel in it, the same kind of deal. And in this case, 51-3, 1990 into 91, this is January of 91, 51-3, 35 years ago. And I was there, and I was a senior in high school, 17 years old, about to be 18 years old with my friends. I remember on the Raiders side of the field, first row of the upper deck. It was just euphoria. It was a relaxed euphoria, right? It was a party. It was not a nail-biting finish at all. The whole second half was a party. That tops it for me. That is number one on my list. And I don't know if you're not there. It's the same thing, I think, for people who say the comeback game. Like, everybody says they were there. I was not. It's one of the only playoff games during that run I didn't go to, actually, the comeback game. But I'm sure it's the same way. You can't explain it to people, right? That was it for me. John in Dunkirk. Hi, John. You're on WGR.
Sal, again, the 51-3 game, I was doing a handheld for NBC on the Raiders sideline that day. And I can't tell you what a complete emotional breakdown the Raiders were having. But real quick, I've been to every stadium, both old and new, and I still get chills and thrills every time I walk out onto the camera deck before the game to just look at the sheer awesomeness of our field, our current field at Highmark. It still gives me chills, and I just am going to miss it, but I'm going to look forward to, obviously, the new stadium as well. And the funniest moment ever for me was in the comeback game. We lost all camera communication in the first half. We could not speak to the director, or he could speak to us, but we couldn't speak to him. So essentially, our entire first half, we were just shooting as if our cameras were live all game until we got the communications fixed to go forward into the second half. But those are my two fondest memories. And I still get a thrill every time I walk into our stadium.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to process on Sunday. And I've said, John, and I don't know about you, for me, it will hit me at some point. I don't know when it is. Is it going to be the first walk down the tunnel, which is the last walk, last first walk? Is it going to be during the anthem when I'm looking around and seeing the stands and the people? Is it going to be during the legend of the game? And where else would you rather be? Is it going to be at the very end of the game and not knowing how or what to do to walk out? I don't know, but it's going to hit me at some point. You know what I mean?
I don't know if you remember, but I did say hello to you down in Houston this year because I was taking a picture with Todd Brody and Greg Harvey.
I do remember, buddy.
You take care of yourself. Thanks for doing all you do. It's
yeah,
great.
Thanks, John. Thanks for the memories, as always, when you call. I appreciate that. 803-0550 is the number to call here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We are going to take a timeout. And when I come back, we're going to have Bill Munson on. Now, Bill was not only the Bills, but I think he might have been like one of the longest NFL team tenured employees until he retired a few years ago. He goes all the way back to before this stadium and the schematics of it and building it and what went into it. And if you watch the Bills retrospective video, 45 minutes on YouTube, the farewell to Highmark, Bill is featured very prominently in the early parts of that to talk about it. And I said, man, why don't you come on with me on WGR today? He said, let's do it. So he's coming up next, Bill Munson, after this timeout. We are celebrating the life of Highmark Stadium today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.